Hello, PageCast listeners, and welcome back. I'm Mariam Adams, and today I'm joined by two absolutely formidable women who have both happened to have just released their fiction, their latest works of fiction. So we've got Ilika Boma, who's just released Ice Shop, which is a love story set against the backdrop of the melting ice caps. And we have the one and only Mary Watson, who has written The Cleaner, a beautifully sinister, propulsive page-turner that explores themes of identity and privilege. Welcome, ladies. It's lovely to be here.
Thanks, Mario. It's great to be here.
And so I've kind of teased at what your books are about, but I wanted to know if you could both give me a small elevator pitch about what your books entail. So maybe I'll start with you, Ilika.
Well, the book is about distance and how we negotiate distance. It's about the kind of, you know, I mean, love stories tend to be finite, even though they may be very great lovers, but they do tend to be finite because human lives are finite. And against, I mean, you use the word backdrop in the summary, you know, the scale at which, you know, ice melts and, you know, planetary change takes place is just such a much bigger scale. So I was working with these two amazing characters who are passionately in love and who click from the very moment they first meet. And then I wanted to test that against the background of the melting ice sheets.
A very cold setting.
Yeah.
And Mary?
That sounds amazing. I have to go and get my copy because I can't wait to read that. So The Cleaner is about, it's a revenge book, and it's about our main character, Esme, who travels from an unnamed country, which I think South Africans might identify through the descriptions of it, to Ireland. And she believes that there's a woman living in this kind of enclave in a university town who is responsible for destroying her brother's life, and she's come to return the favor. So she basically makes sure that she manages to get a cleaning job working in these three houses, and she goes inside, does a bit of snooping, and has to find out which one of these three women is responsible for destroying her brother's life.
Wow. A revenge.
A revenge.
A revenge. you've set your books in two places that are far from Cape Town. And I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about where you're flying in from today and a little bit about your upbringings, where you've lived, and the locations that have shaped your storytelling and the way that you tell these conflicting stories that you do. Should I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
So Cape Town does figure in Ice Shop, which kind of makes sense because Cape Town is one of the six gateways to Antarctica. And the character who travels to Antarctica in the story moves through Cape Town, and there's I think several crucial things happen here. So Cape Town is, and actually Gough Island also features because they go there for training. So it's a bit of a pivot. But how my background comes into my writing, well, it pervades every single word. Really important to what I've written in Ice Shock is growing up as a kid and in Durban and facing out to sea, and my father and other grown-ups saying, you know, facing south, that's where the weather comes from. The weather comes from Antarctica. So Antarctica has always been the sort of bewitching sort of presence for me. And also there's a lot more about South Africa that kind of molds my work. But in relation to Ice Shock, it's that absent presence of the ice.
So there's a lot of kind of place involved in The Cleaner. So on one hand, there is very it's very descriptive of the Irish landscape. There's a lot of Irish summer green lush growth kind of, and you kind of get the sense of the rot that comes underneath the green lush growth. But at the same time, the main character is there to do a job, and she wants to get back home. And that her main driving force is that she wants to get back home. And I think that kind of that sense of that feeling of wanting to be home is something that obviously I feel quite strongly. I mean, I love living in Ireland. I'm very lucky, live in a beautiful neighborhood with lots of green and rolling fields and all of that. But I miss South Africa every day. I miss Cape Town every day. So there's always that longing, that pull for here. And I think that there is that sense of Esme struggling in these two worlds, feeling displaced and ill at ease in her new surroundings. And there's also a very specific message at the end about that place. And I'm not going to go into it because it's a bit of a spoiler, but where she finally ends up is very deliberate. Like I made it a really deliberate choice where what her final movements are, what her final place is. And I think also there is also that sense of, and it's very light, it's a very light touch, the kind of the immigrant story, like where you've got migrant labor and people kind of having certain attitudes towards people, especially darker skinned people coming in from other countries to do certain jobs. And there's kind of a lot of fear about that at the moment. So and I mean, it's absolutely not a study of that by any means, but that's the dynamic that's at play in the book. So it is very much there. Yeah.
Ooh. A link, actually, between what you've just said about your book and mine is this idea of managing distance, how we actually work with it. I mean, I'm married to somebody who was born in Colchester, England, and he is a member of his family who's moved farthest away, but it's only 3 hours drive, you know. So there's they're kind of those who stay and those who go, you know. Mm. And I think both our books are talking about those who go,
yeah.
and why they go and how they negotiate home when it's far away.
Exactly. In relation to that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you've left home and now you're kind of having to create two worlds of new home. Mm-hmm. And where you grew up, and I wanted to know: do you keep a global reader in mind when you're writing, or do you write for the people back home, or do you write for the people in your current home?
Ooh.
That's a difficult one. Mary, yeah. You've written a place that doesn't exist but feels a lot like.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to my hometown of Galway. So like, I mean, I absolutely mapped the town that's in the book on Galway, where I live, but it's not specifically Galway because there are dodgy professors and all that kind of thing. It just becomes really complicated when you start getting too specific. So it's just easier to keep it vague. It is definitely mapped on Galway, and I can't remember the rest of the questions.
Do you keep a global reader in
mind? Do I keep a global reader in mind? Yes. I think I have to. I don't think I think when I'm writing the first draft, it's definitely just the general reader, the kind of my ideal reader. It's me as a reader that I'm writing for. So I'm always writing the books that I want to read. So it's me as a reader. And absolutely, there are certain things that I will put in a book that is for me. So and I won't explain certain things. Definitely not. But then I think once we start going through the revisions, and I think with each revision, you need to start explaining more because people who aren't from my background are kind of having takes on this and they might be getting things completely wrong or whatever. So then it starts becoming necessary to explain. So my first read is always kind of me as a reader with my background, my story. And I never feel obliged to explain too much. But I think as we start going on, so like for The Cleaner, for example, when it started getting prepared for UK Ireland audience, there's certain things that need to be fleshed out more. And then when it started getting prepared for the US audience, there were definitely more things that needed to be explained and fleshed out. So it adapts along the way as it was.
I don't think I have a global reader in mind, but I do have the reader in mind always. I was just having a conversation about Ice Shock with somebody who said, you know, what was it like to write the story of 20-somethings in love? Given that I'm no longer 20-something or even 30-something. So for me, it's really important that the reader feels immersed and that I draw the reader into this story. I think in so far as Mary and I are both using English, you can assume that, like a trans-border reader, you can assume that you can address folks in, you know, different countries that use English. But I don't have that idea in mind. It's more the reader and for the reader to be drawn in.
Well, that's...
It's funny how, sorry to interrupt you, how some readers get very offended if you're writing. I think we're writing from a kind of non-US, UK kind of frame of reference. Mm. And I think that sometimes readers who have that kind of very centric UK, UK, US, don't understand that not all of us have that background.
I was really relating to what you were just saying there, Mary, about us having to compensate for a UK, US assumption from readers and from audiences. I find that quite a challenge because I want to assert perspectives from outside of that UK-US axis that are equally important and equally resonant to a lot of people, but are sometimes just kind of not heard, not picked up. It's a certain kind of vocabulary. It's a certain kind of spectrum of cultural reference. It's even a certain sensorium. But I do like to kind of tease the reader a little bit to throw certain curveballs so that something looks different than what it might imagine. I mean, for example, this is a very basic example, but you know, you say you write something like it was June and the grass was covered in frost, you know, and you suddenly, you know, you jolt the UK US reader.
I had feedback in my last book, Blood to Poison, where somebody said Christmas, like it's summer and it's Christmas, like here. And then I also had an Australian reader saying, yes, you know, finally Christmas in summer representation. We've been looking for this.
I love that. I think my favorite part of reading is immersing myself in a world that is so different to my own and taking the time to, you guys will scratch the surface of something and it allows us to dig a little bit deeper and to do our own work, to engage further with the material. And I'm hoping that your books are picked up by a bunch of new readers because they sound phenomenal. And before we wrap up, I've got two very fun questions that I just want to ask you. We'll keep them quick and rapid fire. And I'll start with you, Mary, and say, if your book's main character showed up at your door, what would you say to them?
If Esme showed up at my door, I'd probably have to shut it and tell her to go away because she's absolutely not to be trusted. Absolutely wouldn't want her in my house, and I definitely wouldn't want her cleaning my house. Not a chance.
Okay. And Ilika, if you could swap lives with any author at this festival for a day, who would it be and why?
Mary Watson, because she lives in one of the most beautiful countries in the world, Ireland, with an amazing literary tradition. I just love in Ireland how there's kind of music in the pubs. Absolutely. And I mean, it's not a stereotype. It is the case.
Yes.
Everyone can play an instrument. You know, folks sing together. It's just great. So I want to be Mary Watson and also, you know, to be there in that context and write these interesting books.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And I hope you have the most amazing time at the festival this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.